As we're looking at our text for this Sunday, one of the things that jumped out at me at first was a very well-known passage for people who have spent time in the Old Testament, coming out of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is frequently avoided, and for the reason, which isn't all that bad or even all that hard to understand, Jeremiah is kind of depressing. He was the prophet in a depressing time from the life of Israel, and like most prophets, he wasn't at all afraid to tell God exactly how he was feeling, and he frequently wasn't feeling very good. But when we look at this part of Jeremiah, we see a ray of light, if you will, in an otherwise rather bleak book in a rather bleak time, where Jeremiah says, speaking for the Lord, that the time is coming when I, that's the Lord, will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And it's easy for us to think, well, that doesn't have anything to do with us. But let's not forget that prophets are often doing the both and of the now and the future. Not all prophecy involves the future. In fact, most of it doesn't. But sometimes it does. And so often when you read in the prophets that phrase, Israel and Judah, or the nation of Israel, it goes beyond the immediate geopolitical realities of what was going on and actually includes us. And Jeremiah is reflecting on God saying, the time is coming when there's going to be a new covenant. Different than the other one, because the other one was broken by the forefathers of the people that Jeremiah was writing to in the immediate, those people who were right there. But the new one is going to be more than the old one in that it is not just going to be a collection of laws and statutes written on pieces of paper or parchment or whatever they are that you have to memorize and then not break. This time, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And what we're seeing here is foreshadowing to the realities of the New Testament when we are told in no uncertain terms that the legalistic following of the law is meaningless to a God who is more interested in why you do things than in what you do. More interested. It's not that God is disinterested in what you do, but at the same time, there's more to it than that. The covenant is expanded beyond a simplistic view that this is the checklist of things you should do and you shouldn't do. You know, today, did I eat lobster? No? Okay, I'm okay with that one. It's more than that. And we run into this whole idea throughout all of the New Testament. And our Hebrews reading with the, it's a word I've heard, not inscrutable, but almost Melchizedek, this Old Testament priest, declared a high priest. But Melchizedek is outside the Aaronic priesthood. You've got all the people, the nation of Israel, they're coming sort of down here, and they've got all their forefathers and then their children and all the rest of it. Melchizedek is off to the side. Melchizedek isn't exactly the same as the high priest that we encounter in the New Testament. There's something else going on there. And the author of Hebrews, whoever that was, is helping people see that there was something different about Jesus as well. The book of Hebrews, no big surprise, is written primarily to Hebrews, to people who are well-versed in the Jewish faith. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to help people realize that everything that matters was not contained in their Old Testament law. And with a certain amount of perhaps reality, they should have known that because they would have read Jeremiah. They would have known there's something about this new covenant that isn't written down on things, but it's contained within us. But what we're seeing here is that Jesus is outside that whole structure of legalistic religiosity in the same way that Melchizedek was. Melchizedek is off to the side, still appreciated as a high priest. 10% of people's possessions were given to him, because there was something significant about that. And what's significant is this building understanding that we can have, because we're looking in retrospect in a way that was much more difficult for the people in Jesus' time, to look back into the past, into the words of the prophets, into the what was written in the Pentateuch and all of those things and start pulling them together in a new way. It's not unheard of for those of us at this time of history to look at the people in Jesus' day and say, you know, what's wrong with you? I would have been there. I would have known right away. Well, you probably wouldn't have. Because what Jesus brings is something that is dramatically different, foreshadowed in the Old Testament. We see it in many places in the Old Testament that the time is going to come when the legalism of the current system won't be needed anymore, because what really matters will be internalized by people. And we see that when we read the, particularly the epistles, but we see it coming in the Gospels as well. But that's primarily a New Testament way of thinking. And we do our Old Testament siblings and foreparents, we do them a disservice when we think that, well, we would have known better. Because I don't think we would have. There's one small part of our gospel lesson that I think is really interesting and frequently overlooked, at least by me. I won't speak for anybody else. But when Jesus is talking, Jesus is praying, saying, you know, I don't want this, but, you know, Father, glorify your name. And this voice comes from heaven, which some people think is thunder, some people think is an angel. But Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. And I think what this is, it alludes to this idea that there were things that people knew or needed to know and perhaps knew already, but they needed something more than what they had to understand that that was for them. The coming Messiah is predicted, is talked about all through the Old Testament. In the intertestamental period, it was an enormous subject of interest. Those 400 years from Malachi to the birth of Christ, where there isn't anything in Scripture, but there's still writings that we have access to. And people were wondering about this Messiah. When is the Messiah going to come? What's the Messiah going to look like? Is the Messiah going to be David, only bigger and better? Well, they didn't know, but they kept their eyes open. False messiahs kept coming up all over the place. But here, we're encountering the actual Messiah. And Jesus is saying, you need more even than me. Sometimes you need to hear this voice from heaven. Jesus didn't need that. Jesus was connected to God in a way that we can't really understand because we are 100% human. That's what we are. Jesus was 100% human, but also 100% God. And no, the math doesn't work, but it frequently doesn't work in things that really matter. Jesus didn't need that. But the people who were following Jesus did. They needed to know that there was more than what they were expecting. And actually, when we look at what Jeremiah is talking about, what people might have been expecting was a new covenant, sort of the old one, only bigger. And Jeremiah drops the hint that the new covenant is going to be completely different. It's completely different because it's not written out on a bunch of things. It's not written on paper, and it's not written on stone tablets. It's not written on anything. Except the reality is made known to our inner beings, to ourselves, to our souls and minds. This is a new thing. It's a dramatically new thing. And it's not that in the Old Testament you're told that all you have to do is behave the right way and that's all that matters. But you can draw that conclusion if you don't read the Old Testament really carefully. You can begin to think that all that matters is checking the boxes. It was more complex than that, and it was involving your inner being. The commandment about not coveting, for example, that isn't a thing you can check off as easily as not killing somebody today. But Jesus brings this new understanding, and he opens the eyes of his disciples and the people who follow him slowly, because it was too much for them to have all at once. And this is part of the slow unfolding of the reality of who Jesus was. That when Jesus was praying, this voice came that other people could hear, and whether they could understand it or it came across as thunder doesn't really matter. It was a demonstration to them that this new covenant that they've read about in Jeremiah and in other places in the Old Testament was coming alive before them, in the form of Jesus. And so when we think of a new covenant, We need to make sure we're not thinking the same way perhaps the Jewish people at the time of Jesus did. We're not thinking of the Old Testament only more comprehensive. Commandments that include the internet. Don't just talk about coveting your neighbor's possessions, but don't talk about coveting your neighbor's job or their social influencing reputation. No, it's not that. It's something completely different. It's an inner sense of who God is and what God wants of us. And what we find is what God wants of us no longer takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses. It can be summed up quite simply. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This is part of the new covenant that Jesus brought, the new way of thinking, the new way of behaving, that said you are connected with God no matter who your parents were, no matter who your ancestors were, no matter who you're connected to or not connected to. None of those things matter, because the new reality, the new covenant says that God is connected with you as an individual from the inside out, not from the outside in. This new covenant that was promised to the people of Israel in Jeremiah is also promised to us. And that's the covenant we live under. And that's the thing that we need to be thinking about in this time of Lenten observations, whether we're giving things up or not. That this is the time when we start thinking about what does it mean to know God from the inside. And part of what that means is that we are people of a new covenant. Better than the old. More comprehensive than the old. Even if you can recite it while standing on one leg. Amen.